Richard Dalton. This recording is part of the Oral History Project carried out by the Suffolk Horse Society in 2013 with advice from Cambridge Community Heritage and a generous grant from the Heritage Lotteries Fund. In the recording, you will hear the voice of Mr. Richard Dalton describing his memories of the Suffolk Punch Heavy Horse. Richard is a farm manager and head horseman at Gressenhall Farm and Workhouse Museum in Norfolk. The recording was made by Juliet Pennell, who is a member of the Suffolk Horse Society. The date of the recording was the 22nd of July 2013, and it was carried out at Gressenhall Museum. The duration of the recording is about 19 minutes.
This is Juliet Pennell interviewing Richard Dalton for Working Horses, Working Lives, sharing our stories of the Suffolk Punch on Monday the 22nd of July 2013.
Well, it's Richard Dalton speaking. I'm the farm manager here at Gressenhall Museum. I've been here 24 years, I'm 49 now, and prior to my work here I also worked at Acton Scott for 4 years in Shropshire. And when I came here, it was basically the buildings and the land, and my role was to stock the farm and to sort of bring it to life in conjunction with the displays at the museum. But when I was looking, doing the research, it was to actually have the livestock that were sort of relevant to East Anglia, and especially Norfolk. And my selection of horse was the Suffolk Punch, because of the great association with actually its work throughout East Anglia. And when I first came, we looked around, or I looked around, and made contact with the Suffolk Horse Society. The secretary then was Philip Ryder Davis, and we went down to Halsey Bay, and I was lucky enough then to go out and have a look at the young stock they had and select my first two horses, which were Zebedee and Zulu. I brought them back up here and in 89, and then started working on them that autumn and winter, prior then to actually opening the farm the following spring.
And can you tell me how big is the farm here at Gressenhall?
The farm's just under 50 acres, and it's in conjunction with the workhouse. The workhouse is the main dominant feature on our site. And this farm and the area has been farmed as a farm of this size since 1250. So we're still farming it. And when I first came, it was just an open field. Prior to the use by the museum, it had been part of the Norfolk County Council small holdings and had been farmed as such for many years. And then before that, by the guardians of the workhouse, and before that was then in ownership. Going right back through, it goes back and recorded the Norfolk Records Office to the original de Stutville family in way back in time. So when I looked at it to get the field pattern so we could demonstrate the Norfolk four-course rotation, I used the 1813 enclosure map for this farm to reintroduce the hedgerows, which are now big and bushy and dividing the farm, to give it some integrity in terms so it can relate to maps. So, and then we can use that then by having the four-course rotation to farm it, and again using the horses to do the farm work. So we, in a year we plough them, sow the crops, tend the crops, cultivate between rows, etc., and actually then use the binder to actually harvest the crops, wagons to bring it in, and we still then thrash the corn at the end of the year with a steam engine.
And now you've got more than two horses to accomplish all this work. Could you tell us a bit about the horses you've got on the farm now and how you chose them?
Yes, the original two were fantastic horses, and we built up. We started off small, really, and had a magic team for many years. I lost one, and you realise then, gosh, you need another one coming on all the time. So I then got a mare, Queenie, and she was really good horse. Worked locally on a dray ride, unfortunately had an incident on the roads with her and she was spooked by that, but I put her to work here, and within 2 or 3 weeks she was working on the fields. And in fact, after one magnificent rear and a buck, and was on the binder for the first time, and then just walked around the rest of the field and did years of good service. We had another horse called George. He came via Roger Clark in Suffolk. And then I've also got two others that I bought young horses over time to get enough horses coming through. Trojan, Bowler, they were youngsters, and they're now they're my old boys now. And as well, I've got Casper and Reg, who they came from a friend of mine up in Scotland, who was changing his farming policies. He was hoping to work them, and then so they moved back down from the Mull, back down to Suffolk, and then up to us here. And then I've got the young horse Jimbo, who's bred locally in Norfolk. So it gives me a range of horses, range of ages, range of abilities, so we can deliver our working side of things as well as delivering to our the public demonstrations.
Because obviously the public school visits, educational visits, it's a big part of work here at Gresson Hall. Can you tell me a bit about the sort of the horses' role, perhaps with the public, whether the public, do they just see them or do they have the opportunity to do anything with the horses?
What we try and offer, or what's been my goal, is that there's a horse experience for everybody who comes here. So whether it's just them coming in and being up close to them in the stables, they can actually access them physically and see them. On the workload, of course, seasonality, but during it, there's opportunity then to see the various tasks being done. I work with Eastern Counties Heavy Horse Association as well. So we stage 2 days a year where we have up to 20-odd horses working here. And so the range of use goes from field work, so the whole, encompassing the whole from ploughing, drilling, etc., through to, we're just now coming up to our summer period. So we're delivering cart rides every day, and sort of up to 3-4 hours in a day, 6 days a week. So it's our main sort of slog, so they're fit, they're ready to go, and they're able then, as you're driving around, being drawn by horses through fields with the historical context to then say, well, you know, it's a great means to interpret the landscape.
And you have students as well who are going to end up with qualifications at the end of their time here. Could you tell us a bit about what they could be working to and how you see that developing perhaps?
We've got HLF funding for our programme called Skills for the Future, and it's acknowledged a few years ago that we need to be training people. I'm 49 now, and it's who's going to be coming on after me, and also working in this environment. Today is very different, 2013. We've got lots more things to consider. You have to be much more measured in your approach, much safer thinking, but it just makes you think, well, I can do the job, but do it safely. And so we've started by having, I've actually had two already and in this round of funding, and I've just started 6 weeks ago my last two, Ben Preston and Daniel Chatton, and get up to speed with handling the horses, predominantly start with using the driving and working using the framework via the British Driving Society, which is then acknowledged training route, training programme. And then my speciality is obviously the working side, then I can add to them on that. So it will encompass driving the horses, grooming for me as the driver, getting them experience. They've just done a road driving assessment to see how much training they'll need. I will then get them up to driving and be driving on the roads. Then hopefully we'll then go to the farming year. And at the end of it, they will go away with attending local and agricultural qualification, so their portfolio will be quite extensive. And so hopefully in time, when I'm not here or other places that are working, they can go along, give them their file, and actually say, you know, I'm not just anybody, I'm here, I've got this behind me, and I can deliver to this standard. And it maintains the skills, and you know, it also keeps it alive.
And safety these days, if you're dealing with the public, it's something that needs to be taken into consideration.
It's really the primary consideration, and anything you do, and obviously here I'm responsible not only for my staff, but for visitors and everybody's well-being, and so I have to assess it every day. People think I'm just walking around and, you know, But I'm taking, you've got to take in all the factors before you do anything, whether it's leading the horses in, preparing them for work, what job we're going to do, what's the temperature, what's all these factors, how fit the horses are. So it's applying all the knowledge and skill I've accumulated over the years to make sure that it looks effortless. And often say to people, you wouldn't believe how hard it is to look this casual, because that's what it's about. It's actually making sure that you've, to the best of your ability, thought things through, and then assessing people. Obviously with training, now I can give people tasks, but I'm also assessing them to say, well, can they cope with that? How are they taking that knowledge in? Can they then build on that? Or actually, I need to go back two steps, build them up again. So it's I've also got a teaching qualification as well. So it's encompassing everything to hopefully at the end product, I've passed on some of what I know, and then it's down to them to do the miles, to get the experience, but hopefully they've got the building blocks to do that.
And with the horses yourself, do you take your horses out, you know, in addition to the work you do here, do you take your horses out to do any shows or ploughing matches?
Yeah, I tend, I'm not really geared up for showing, as many people are. I don't have vehicles and the time and all the rest and the harness, etc. But what I can do is I can go out, and if there are ploughing matches, I go. And because it's my full-time job, and I've done it quite a while now, it's nice to be, I'm not desperately competitive, but if I go out there, I want to go and win. I'll do my, well, not necessarily win, but do my best to show that actually, you know, it's keeping a skill, which is what ploughing matches are about, keeping it alive, keeping it real, and then also applying that. So a friend of mine works at a local estate, and we've been out horse logging there. I've got National Trust are inquiring at the moment locally. They've got some windblown trees, difficult situations. Would we, as a project, go and look at their areas to move stuff by, you know, pulling the horse, using the horse to pull the timber out? Promotional stuff, because I'm actually employed by Norfolk County Council, I can be asked to attend functions at County Hall, outside the Forum, or the Norfolk Show. You know, so it's all part and parcel of what I do. But when I'm there, I'm obviously an ambassador for here, for the company, for Norfolk County Council, and then getting the message across that, yes, we have horses here, but it's about why we have them and their importance.
And do you think, I mean, for the future of the Suffolk Punch, the future of the Suffolk in heritage work, do you foresee that building up these skill sets with your students, do you foresee a future for the breed in work like this?
I've got a team of five. Their economic importance is the value of them. They're all working. They're generating my wages. They're giving people a good time. We've got income coming in. So they're relevant. Mm-hmm. Now, so 2013, five working horses, Suffolk Punches, are all relevant and earning money. Now, it's not just about money. It's also being here as a shop window to show people, yes, the historical context, but actually what they can do, what their capabilities are, and always looking forward to think, well, we're not just set here in a museum context. Well, what's the next thing? Like the horse logging, like, you know, looking at different opportunities that arise, looking at, well, what's the way forward? Can we use modern machines? Is there stuff coming in from America that I've got a horse-drawn muck spreader that I use? What's the economic value, and how then can we use the resources we've got to facilitate training, to make sure standards are kept, to keep skills alive? So it's always looking forward, not backwards.
I think that's fascinating that despite having referred to the earlier enclosures map to draw your field boundaries, you're looking to the future for the horse and for the horses and to the farm as well. And when you're looking after your horses, I mean, sort of, I say tricks of the trade, but veterinary care and farriery. Do you use any old horseman's cures, or would you go for some modern veterinary medicine?
Generally, we're very fortunate. We've got some very good vets locally, and the equipment they've got now is a bit mind blowing. So any issues, because the importance of actually having horses fit to go, mm-hmm. it's straight in and get there. I can assess. And thinking, you know, but it's straight away, first port of call is get the experts in. Good foot care is vital, no foot, no horse, as the old saying goes. I've got a really good farrier now, a few over the years, Lawrence Ridgway, and as also part of the project, we've helped fund him become a training farrier and funded his first year of his apprentice costs, because then it just means that we can keep those skills in shoeing heavy horses alive. And I know, and he knows I'm a very good customer, so he knows if I ring him, he'll be here, shoe on, because if my horses aren't shod and ready to go or sound, then obviously they're not working, they're not doing the job. So it's sort of, and my saddler as well in Shropshire, I grow the rye, he uses it to collar make, and I'll send him, you know, so the collars I have, the rye's grown here, he makes them, and I'm using then the product here. So it's trying to keep this small pool of artisans really, again, relevant, keeping that alive, and economically keeping the whole system sort of working.
I believe in the past you have bred a foal here, but generally speaking, you don't breed. You're working your horses, which is obviously that's providing a market for other people breeding. I mean, might you consider breeding in the future, or do you not feel that that's something that is part of the scope here?
It's something that's always there, and again, it just depends what horses are around when I'm buying. Breeding horses is a separate sort of thing in a way. You need to, if you've got a mare that's foaled, you need to house it. You then got a young foal, you can't work your mare. I need to have horses ready to go at all times, really. So I also take the opportunity, there are people locally that breed. So during the summer months, if they've got a mare and a foal the last few years, I've asked them, they bring their mare and foal here. So again, the visitors can see, it promotes the breed again. And for the mare and the foal, most importantly, they're seeing horses going past, working. So it's a good experience for the foal too. So it's a lot of advantages in doing what we do. But yes, it would be fantastic to breed. But I do also feel that by buying the horses I buy, that creates a market in some respect to actually have working horses here.
So it's fascinating. I don't know, perhaps before we finish, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the Suffolk horses here at Gressenhall or another aspect of the farm?
Well, I suppose I'm very lucky, and I think every day I'm very fortunate that I never look at coming here as work. This is what I do, it's what I am. And, you know, to say, come in and think, well, actually, I'll go ploughing today, or I'll, you know, we'll get this up, and, you know, and there's a tremendous sense, because it's my full-time job, that I can have that, just that being at one and doing a good job and sharing it. There's a term, a horseman was known as a teamsman, and that's what it is. It's a team effort. They rely on me, I rely on them. And when you stand back and look at a nice straight furrow, or the horse has gone well, you know, you can't sort of put a price on that. So it's that whole sense of being connected, having the ability to do it, which is, you know, by years of experience, and, you know, very fortunate that I'm able to still today, really, and great now that I've got the opportunity to pass on some of the skills I have.
Richard, thank you very much indeed for telling us about the farm here at Gressenhall and the horses.